Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. It's good to have all our visitors. And as always, I'm humbled to be able to speak before you. And hopefully what we talk about this morning will be helpful to everybody. This is a little departure for me from typical sermons. I don't have any notes this morning. I want us to just look at a passage and glean some things from this passage. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I want us to read about this wonderful lady, this wonderful woman named Hannah. We're going to read the text, and we're going to go through chapter 2 to verse 21. And then we'll make some observations. So please read with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat, and why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. And Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bowls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, Give meat for roasting to the priest, for you will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, They should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, No, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. Even as a child wearing a little linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. This is a very powerful reading for me. And I want us to glean 4 points that I think may help us all. The first point, Hannah suffered trials. She suffered trials. She wanted a child. She was barren. The other wife of Elkanah had children. The other wife would provoke her severely, made her miserable. Verse 7, it says, so it was year by year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. This is a constant trial, constant turmoil, constant misery that she went through. She went through these trials. So the second point, she turns to God. She turns to God for help. She turns to God. It says in verse 15, she pours out her soul before the Lord. So in these trials, let me back up a second. In these trials, Elkanah, her husband, he's trying to be a good husband. He says, Hannah, why do you weep? Verse 8, why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? And then he shows a little bit of what we husbands usually show is a lack of understanding. He says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Yes, you're a good husband, but are you better than 10? I want a child. See, when a woman wants a child, she wants a child. It's great to having a great husband, but he doesn't really understand. Is he better than 10? The brutal answer to that would be no. The brutal answer to that would be no. She wants a child. So he's trying to be a good. So in these trials, he's trying to help her. But she turns to God. She pours out her heart to God. And in this pouring out of her heart, she makes a vow. She makes a promise. She promises that if she's granted this male child, that she'll give him to the Lord. Not only that, it seems to indicate that he's going to be a Nazarite. No razor shall come upon his head. She's going to dedicate him to the Lord. So in this prayer and turning to God, she makes this promise. And God answers that prayer. She has this child, and her prayers are answered. Third point, Hannah keeps her promise. Hannah keeps her promise. She goes to Eli. She brings him to Eli in verse 25. In verse 26 of chapter 1, she says, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by your praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I have also lent him, some translations say dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. She keeps her promise. That's the hard part about this to relate to, isn't it? But you know what? She not only keeps her promise, but she does it joyfully. We've been having a wonderful class on Wednesdays. And if you haven't been coming on Wednesday night, you need to come. You're missing a great class in the book of Psalms that Nate's been leading. You want to see a good psalm? Look at chapter 2 here. She writes this psalm. She's dedicated. She hasn't had a son. She's been in torment because of it. She turns to God, asks for the son. She's given this son, and part of that asking, she's promised him to the Lord. And now she's giving this son she's waited for so long to the Lord. She's not complaining. She's not trying to address God and see if she can rework this promise. No, she writes a psalm. A beautiful psalm. And it tells about how God is so wonderful and he raises up those who are low and he exalts them. It's a beautiful psalm. She's got a wonderful attitude. A wonderful attitude that we can learn from, you know. She made a promise and she keeps the promise, but she keeps it happily. She keeps it joyfully. And then, the fourth thing I want us to see. She's blessed richly. She's blessed richly. We see there's quite a contrast between Eli's sons and her son Samuel.
There's quite a contrast.
You see how they're evil. And part of the evilness is the fat was dedicated to God in a sacrifice. And they weren't allowing that to happen. And they weren't allowing that to happen by force. But then you see verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. If nothing else ever happened, Hannah had a good little boy. If nothing else ever happened, she's blessed richly. We have little boys in this congregation. We have big boys in this congregation. And how many times I've seen things in them just like my little boy. It's a blessing to have a good little boy. I knew I'd be emotional on this sermon. Hannah had a good little boy, and she didn't forget him. Every year, she would give him a little robe. God richly blessed her. But then he gives her more children. You know, it's interesting, verse 20. In verse 20, it says, the Lord, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. You know, in all the years I've studied this story, I've missed that. Eli asked God on Hannah's behalf for more children, descendants. And she's granted that in verse 21. She had 3 sons and 2 daughters. And then the last line of what we read, meanwhile the child grew before the Lord. It reminds me of Jesus when he was little, growing in the Lord. There's a lot of parallels to Samuel and Jesus. So we have 4 points. You know, we have Hannah's going through trials. She turns to the Lord. She makes a promise to the Lord. She keeps that promise, and then she is blessed richly. You know, we as Christians, we go through trials. Sometimes those trials that are the hardest are not the biggest trials and not the highest mountains maybe in our life, but they're the ones that are in our face on a daily basis. We go through them every day, looking at those trials right in the eye. But we turn to the Lord. That's how we get through it. We turn to the Lord and He helps us. Sometimes in our turning to the Lord, we make promises to Him. And we keep those promises. And when that happens, He blesses us richly. He blesses us richly. And then there's one more similarity I'd like to make. You know, Jesus went through trials. He went through trials that were daily in His face, severe trials. And what did He do? He turned to the Lord. And you might even say He poured out His soul before the Lord. That's how He got through His trials too. And He had a commitment to keep His vow to God, to do His will. And He had a commitment to all of us here. He made promises to all of us here. And He kept those promises. He kept those promises even to the point of the cross. He kept those promises for us. And then He was blessed richly. There's a point in here. I'm just going to break the intensity of here a little bit. You know, Eli thought Hannah was drunk. You ever think about stuff in your mind and your
your lips are moving, but nothing's coming out, you know.
There's something that I do that not many people know I do.
When I get really tired and I'm driving and I need to get to a destination, I've been known to yell at myself and yell, "Wade, wake up. Wade, don't fall asleep. We're almost there." You know, I do that. And if somebody saw me doing this, they would think I would have been drinking for sure. And I found out that it may be genetically linked because my son does the same thing. Hannah wasn't drunk. She was turning to her God. She was turning for help. And she did it in a beautiful way. She gives us a great example of how a godly person should walk. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Many of the blessings we've been talking about, you don't have access to. You don't have access to prayer that you know is going to be answered. You don't have access to a father who's promised to take care of his children. You don't have access to that. And you don't have access to the blessings of forgiveness or the blessing of eternal life. We want you to have those blessings. God wants you to have those blessings. You can repent of your sins and be baptized and start walking as a child of God. And we don't want you to miss out on that opportunity. Maybe there's some in our audience who are Christians. Maybe sometimes we take our trials and we think we got to handle them ourselves. Maybe we think we can handle them ourselves and we don't turn to God like we should. You know what? That's not going to work. We need God. We can't handle it ourselves. That's why Jesus died. Or maybe in our prayers and things, we make promises and vows to God. And maybe sometimes we don't keep those promises. We need to correct that. We need to keep our promises. And when we get answers to our prayers, and sometimes they involve burdens, we need to embrace them happily, like Hannah did. We need to rejoice. She rejoiced that she was given a son that then she immediately gave away. If she can rejoice in that, we can rejoice when God answers our prayers. And maybe sometimes He expects us to do things that are hard. We can look at Hannah as our example. And then we can remember the blessings that were showered upon us and the eternal blessings that wait for us in heaven. The example of Hannah. A really wonderful story, but something that can help us all. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.